All right, we're going to go ahead and get started this evening, so please make your way to your seats. We'll have a ladies' ensemble begin us this evening singing a song entitled One King.
All that they glad that you've come tonight. I want to welcome you to the Christmas Eve service, and grateful that you've come, and hope that tonight with the music and scripture that we'll take part in, that it'll help you encourage your heart for celebrating the Christmas holiday that we're that's upon us. So the reason, of course, is to is the coming of the Son of God. It won't be a whole lot different tonight than this morning, but that's the message concerning Christmas. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, came into this world and took upon him a body of flesh. The song said, only one king became a baby. Many babies have turned out to be kings, but only one king, that's a great thought, only one king became a baby. And so he took upon him a body of flesh. He has that body of flesh to this very day in heaven. And the Bible teaches us that right now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And what he's doing is he's awaiting the word of the Father to return to this world to receive his people. In the book of Hebrews, again, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is tonight. He's at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But that has to do with the reason for Christmas future. Amen. There is a celebration yet to come, far greater than the first coming of Jesus, and that's the second coming. That's exciting for the people of God. But tonight, we're going to focus on the reason for Christmas past. And to do that, we're going to use songs and we're going to use scripture to tell the story. So we're going to begin. Bryce is going to lead us tonight in a familiar song for us, but he's going to come and do that.
All right, the words should be up there on the screen for you, but join me in standing, and we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Son of God, love. silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing. The Savior is born.
You may be seated.
Amen. Couldn't figure out whether to begin the program with that song or end it, but I thought it'd be a good thing to begin with, The Silent Night. It's so well known that most of us can sing it from memory, or at least most of it. We might mess a word or two up. But it was written to express the joy and the awe that the songwriter felt as he meditated upon and thought about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he thought about the Christmas accounts in Scripture. And as he considered the Lord, the King, who became a baby, came in the form of a helpless infant, born of a virgin, in a small village in Israel named Bethlehem, he was overtaken, and those words grabbed hold of his heart. It has become probably one of the most famous Christmas carols of all time. But it's a song that reflects peace and it reflects joy at the birth of a baby. But you know, it was not quite like that at the time when Jesus was born. The Scripture account, it wasn't quite peace necessarily, or joy, at least leading up to the birth of the Lord Jesus. Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Joseph and Mary were not from Bethlehem. They lived in a town called Nazareth, which is about 75 to 80 miles north of there. But because of a government decree that had gone out in the nation Israel at that time, they were forced. When Mary was great with child, I mean, it was her time for the baby to be born, they were forced to travel to Bethlehem to be taxed. Their lives had already been changed pretty dramatically and probably were, I mean, I know there were times of peace and joy as the Spirit of God reminded them, but I can imagine that everyday life was not peace and joy as they considered what was going on, as Joseph struggled with Mary being pregnant before they had come together in marriage. And it took a visit from an angel, God speaking to him in a dream for him to marry her. Mary being puzzled about how she, having not known a man, could give birth to a child. So their lives had already changed dramatically. And when they figured out what was going to happen, what they were going to do, that God had chosen to use them to bring his son into the world and to raise him in their home. You would think that at the time of the birth, things would go more smoothly, since God's in control. It's his son. You would think that they'd be set up to have a nice place to go give birth in. But it didn't work out that way. They had to travel to Bethlehem, 80 miles away, away from home and away from family. It was rather inconvenient. Imagine, you know, those of you that have had children, especially your first child. Imagine the concern and the worry that you may have. But the thing I see from Scripture is this: God always has reasons for what he does. If you know the Lord, God, you can rest and trust in him. God always has reasons. Our part is just to do what we can do and to know that God makes no mistakes. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us this. It says, but when the fullness of the time, that is, right on time, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Back in Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. You know what I think that says to me before I read the last part of it? I remember reading G. Campbell Morgan speaking about the almost the sadness of that situation, her first baby. And after he was born, she took him. There was no nurse, no doctors. She took the newborn baby and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and took him over and laid him in a feeding trough. There's a little sadness there, but there's a wonder there as well. As Mary picked up that child she'd born, having had revelation from God, knowing who he was, placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The world had no room for the king that became a baby. But that's okay. God knows that. We're going to have our ladies come.
Sovereign of heaven, who angels adore.
What happened that night, some 2,000 years ago, changed the world forever. God had foretold, even before that time, 700 years before that time, through an Old Testament prophet by the name of Micah, that the birth of Jesus, the Savior, would take place in Bethlehem. And though it seemed as an inconvenient, troublesome thing to happen, it was the fulfillment of the Word of God. Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth," listen to what he says, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The king that became the baby. Do you understand what that means? That the decree in Luke chapter 2 of the emperor of the world, Caesar Augustus, probably the most important and most powerful man alive at that time in history, that decree that he gave was ordained by God in eternity past for that very night. For that very night to bring Joseph and Mary to that very place that his son would be born, precisely in Mary's ninth month. Now, I know a few ladies, some of you that have had babies, I can just imagine what it would be like to have your life disrupted at 8 months and 3 weeks, and all of a sudden you are forced to take a trip. What an inconvenience, and yet we're reminded that God does all things well. God worked it out so that she would be there in Bethlehem. He's right. You can trust him that what's going on, he'll work out in your behalf. I read this passage this morning in the scriptures, but it's the one found in Daniel chapter 4 after Nebuchadnezzar had not listened and thought he was more than God, and God made him go mad, and for 7 years he lost his mind. But when his thinking, God allowed his thinking to come back, and he said in his own words, his testimony, he said, "I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion." King Nebuchadnezzar's was only a partial dominion, a temporary dominion. God's is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" None of us have that ability or that should want to say, "God, what are you doing?" We should learn to trust. This decree was not a reaction by God to the rotten condition of the world at that time. Say, "Okay, I've got to do something to fix this," or for that matter, for our time, the condition of the world at our time. Rather, it was a purpose of God being worked out from as far back in time as we can go in our finite minds. It goes past that. And what he was doing was he was providing for all human beings a way to be brought into right relationship with him and to be changed forever and to have an opportunity. You ever think about that? Here's the God that from eternity, he has no beginning. And he ordains the world and all of the events. And I'm not saying men don't exercise free will and things like that. But God has, he knows the end from the beginning. And he, since the eternity past, has provided a way for you and I to have a relationship with him through this king that became a baby. And also to have an opportunity to be a part of God's purpose in the year 2024. You can, through relationship with God, you can have a part in God's continuing work that's going on in this world. Back in the Gospel of Luke, after Mary laid that baby in a manger, it tells us that outside of Bethlehem in the fields, there were shepherds. It says in verse 8 of Luke 2, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
All right, join me in standing again. And our next song that we're going to sing is It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven sky they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains they sounds, the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and flow, look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Next song is 106, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners rest.
reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace,
hail the Son
of righteousness, light and life to all he brings, raised with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
All right, you may be seated, Pastor.
Well, amen. So how do we become a part of the purpose of God that we talked about? Well, first, you have to be in right relationship with God. We see tonight the poor condition of society, and the reason for that, it was a poor condition of the society of the day in which Jesus came. But the reason for that is sin. You have to recognize, first of all, before you can be a part of the purpose of God, you got to realize you're a part of the problem. And that problem is you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's holy, and you and I are not. Not in our lost condition. We inherited sin from Adam. And the proof that you inherited sin is that today you've sinned. That's the proof. You and I disobey God, and God doesn't allow sin in his presence. And that's the purpose of Christmas. God sent his only Son, his holy Son, made in the image and likeness of man, born of a virgin, so he would not be a descendant of Adam, but a man nonetheless, a perfect man, just as Adam was created originally in his body. Jesus lived a perfect life, and then he died a cruel death on a cross in your place and in my place. He died, he rose again the third day, and when he did so with the power to forgive all sin to any who will believe on him. John says in John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I think that's referring to the Jewish nation as a whole. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So how do you receive him? Well, you believe the message that's been told you, and you come to him. Remember those shepherds that the angels announced Christ's birth to out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks? It says in Luke 2 and verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." You see, it's not enough to hear the message. You have to respond to the message. Let us come and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That's how you become a child of God. It has nothing to do with what you do or what you've done, your good deeds, your kindness, those sort of things. But it has everything to do with what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me, and our trust and belief in him. That's what the shepherds did. They'd heard the message in the fields, and they believed the message that God gave them, and they went to the Son. I know our crowd here tonight is nearly all of us. I wouldn't have a lot of visitors, but I know that. But I want to ask you, have you been to the Son of God? Have you heard the message and come to him? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's how you enter into the purpose God has for you. Hannah.
To us from on high, reaching down into the deepest night, to the world hope has come in the dark. Unto us grace has come here to seek and bring the sinner home, live to die, rose to reign, Son of Man. And don't heaven has come to us. Heaven has come to us.
Amen. Hard to believe that, isn't it? Heaven has come to us. When you've received the gift of God, which is His Son, God wants you to get involved in His purpose and in His plan that He's carrying out in this world. He wants you to tell that message to others. You know, that group of shepherds, I don't know how many there were, but I, in my mind, have always pictured 8 or 10, maybe a few more, but I couldn't picture many more than that. But they made their way from the countryside into the little village of Bethlehem to hunt this little baby down. And when they saw him, I'm convinced that what that tells us is when they saw him, and they saw him laying in that feed trough, they knew that heaven had come. God's purpose in this world is to let everybody know that'll listen that He's come. And Christmas is a great time to be able to do that. Tomorrow, maybe tonight, even you'll be with family, friends. It's a great time to let them know. Any time really is a great time to do it. If God gives you the opportunity, don't pass it up. But it says in Luke chapter 2, in verse 17, it says, "And when they had seen it, the shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The message we have, that heaven has come, a king became a baby, lived a sinless life, went to a cruel cross, and on that cross paid the price, tasted death for every man. That's a marvelous message. It's for everybody. Everybody. No matter what kind of life they're living, right, it is for everybody. Because that's who He did it for. He did it for me. He did it for you, and He did it for them. It's good news. Let's give it to others. Amen. Bryce, we'll sing one more song.
All right, join me one more time tonight, and we'll sing one more song. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, makes
nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. You're dismissed.